Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
Two or three are gathered in my name. He is there. You made a right decision. You made a right choice to be in God's house. Well, a lot of people are on vacation today. We understand that. But this is the right decision for us to make. We're glad you came this morning. And, you know, we have a new fundraiser. Anybody have a new boat here by any chance? Well, I'm raffling off tickets at $10 a head for to ride in the boat, in the new boat, in Tony's new boat. So it's going to be a great fundraiser. Congratulations on the new boat, Tony. And we pray it stays on top of the water. Yes. we're going to share this morning on facing the giant of fear. Actually, we kind of had another message but changed it yesterday. Fear is a problem, even with believers, even with Christians, and it will paralyze you, it will stop you, it will hinder you, it will keep you from being all that God called you to be. And I want to begin by reading a verse. Jeremiah 42 and 11 says this, and by the way, it's a command of God not to fear. It's not a suggestion. Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed or discouraged. I am your God. I will help you. I will hold you up by my righteous right hand. I don't have to be afraid for two reasons. God is with me, and he has offered me his help. And he's going to hold me. When I can't hold myself up, he's going to hold me up. And, you know, fear is an emotion, but as anything, if we have emotions like joy, happiness, anger, we have to steward that. If we have angry, it should be angry at the things that makes God angry. Be joyful for the things that brings God joy. You know, I shouldn't be joyful that I made $1 million selling drugs. I should be joyful when people come to Christ. It's okay to have fear, but it's not okay for fear to have you or possess you, control you, or own you. There's a saying that says, fear, you don't own me. You don't possess me. I control my emotion of fear. You don't own me. And, you know, the problem is when we say fear God and then fear not. What's the issue here? The issue is the words. When the Bible says to fear God, that is awe, reverence, and surrender, which is obedience to God. That's what we should do, fear God. But when it says fear not, that's the Greek, which is phobos, which means terror, confusion, disturbing, torment. That's the fear that we should not have, the fear of the enemy. And, you know, the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fools despise wisdom. When I fear God, when I'm in awe of God, when I honor God, when I surrender to God, when I respect God, that's a wise thing to do because that protects me. But the sad thing is that many people are trapped by the enemy's fear. You know, the Goliath in their life, whatever it is, taunts them in the morning, and he's there at the night telling you, you got that same problem. It's not going to work out. And they have no peace in their life. And peace is not the absence of hardship. It's the presence of God. It's not the absence of trouble. You can be in the most trouble in the world and still have the peace of God in your life. I love something, by the way, that Joyce Meyer says, and I want you to wrap your head around this. She says, do it afraid. So I'm going to say to you today, get on the airplane afraid or you're going to miss out. Go ahead and serve God. Go ahead and tithe or you're going to miss out. Fear causes us not to do the things that God wants us to do, and it will keep us from our destiny. There are people so afraid of dying that they are not living at all. Fear will make us. Will hinder us, but faith will make us courageous, and greater is he that's in us, in me, that's in the world. And Pastor Ken's going to talk some more about this, but fear is something we need to fight with faith. Faith in God. Fear not. There's no reason for you to be afraid of anything today. No one or no demon in hell, because God is with you and he's willing to help you.
Yes, if God is with you, then does it matter how many demons in hell are against you? It doesn't matter. So fear is something that is universal to every human being. I like the fact that we should, if we're going to fear, it should be of God and of judgment. And, I mean, the only true fear would be missing heaven, right? Depart from me, I never knew you. That's the fear. If we don't control fear, then fear will control us. And fear always causes paralysis. That's how you know if you're afraid, is it will cause you to stop fighting. It will cause you to stop believing. It will cause you to stop doing a lot of things. You could stop eating. You know, I mean, you could stop sleeping. Fear will cause paralysis. And you were talking about the giants. So, you know, I was thinking about Goliath, that one man was able to paralyze an entire army just based on the fears. And the thing about the fears, of course, they're based on lies. We're not as good at recognizing lies as we think we are, because most people believe all sorts of different lies about themselves and about God and about even about other people. When you see people in the body of Christ attacking one another, it's because they're believing lies about one another. You know, it's like attacking God's wife, which is not a good thing to do. The fear and the lies that Satan tells you is not that they're not even believable lies many times. That's what's so amazing, is you would think, well, he's so subtle that the lies look good. Sometimes the lies are so insane and people still repeat the lies. Just insane lies, things that they should know. God doesn't love me anymore. God didn't even create me. Now that I realize that the universe created itself. Frogs put themselves together. You know, that painting painted itself. No. It doesn't matter how big the lie is. You know, and those are big lies, that God doesn't love me, that God doesn't care for me. And when Satan brings lies, it's seeds of lies. When you hear a lie, you get to plant that or to reject that. You can throw it away. And so it's like, if we water that, if we take that in, and you've heard that you are what you eat. And we can fill our life with cotton candy lies that have no substance. But what does the world have to offer us? You know, it's funny, and I appreciate how gracious Pam is to say, hey, everyone's on vacation and stuff. But I've heard people say, I just need a break. People taking a break from God. But do they take a break from the world? Or is the world just 24 hours? And how does God feel when it's like, I know that we only have this church once a week. We only have Sunday mornings, but I need to take some time away. Just take a breather from God. Me and him need to be separated a little bit. What does the world have to offer that's so amazing? Our identity is tied up in God. Everywhere you go, your identity, God is invested in you. And we need to be invested in him. So I want to say to those that are here, you decided to come and honor God today. You decided to come to the house of God. You decided not to take a break from God, but to come and worship God. And think about this place, this physical building. This is the house of God. That's cool. That those drums drum for God. That these speakers speak for God, that everything in this building is dedicated to God. Isn't that right? So that's the first thought, and I'm going to peel the onion here. The first thought is, this is the house of God, which, what a beautiful thing God's given us, that we can come here, and this is a wonderful building, a wonderful location, and we are so blessed. Good morning, Miss Debbie. Debbie is in the house. Praise God. It's always good to have Miss Debbie in the house. But you know why? Because when people come in, they carry their anointing with them. They carry their presence with them. They carry their joy with them. Of course, you can also carry other things with you, but you can carry the joy of the Lord. Give me just a couple more seconds here, Pam. My first part's my longest part, so I wanted to tell you about how algorithms work. And just bear with me. So Amy Grant says the voice that you listen to is going to win the fight. Right? There's all kinds of voices. There's the Word of God going forth, and if you listen to that, it's going to win the fight. The Holy Spirit's speaking, and if you listen to that, you're going to win. But Satan's also speaking, and the voice that we listen to, the voice we feed on, is going to win the fight. So I need some new glasses, so last week I did a quick search for glasses. The whole rest of the week, all my news feeds, I'm like, this is interesting. There's glasses ads everywhere. I can't get away from them. Why? Is that a coincidence that I'm getting glasses ads? Whatever you feed on, the algorithm on the internet says that's the kind of stuff they're interested in. That's how, if you ever ask the question, how does this person get down this rabbit hole? You know, you talk to someone and they are filled with these conspiracy theories. They come talk about space lasers and aliens and Bill Gates and microchips and you're like, how do they get filled with all this? Algorithms. Once you start down that rabbit hole, then the internet begins to feed you that same stuff. I guarantee you, if I did a search for white supremacy and began to search for that, within a week, I could think that everyone should be a white supremacist. Have you read all the articles? Are you guys not looking at what's out there? Because I searched for it, then they added more to it, then they added more to it, and before you know it, my internet history and my internet ads, the news ads, are all filled with dark stuff. With stuff that's prejudice, which stuff that is a lie, all based on the lies of the enemy. And don't you know that the world is anti-Christian? It's anti-God. It's anti-Jesus Christ. It's anti-holiness. And you are what you eat. You are what you eat. And so it's interesting to me that once in a while, Christian brothers and sisters, who we should not be so gullible, please listen to Brother Hagin. Have as much sense as an old cow. Eat the hay. Leave the sticks. I'm sometimes amazed that people will fall for all kinds of lies from the enemy and not have, the word I'm looking for is discretion. And so I've had people come to me and say, Pastor Ken, I've been studying. And I always think, okay, if you've been studying the Word of God, you've been studying. But if you've been watching, you know, late night YouTube and TikTok videos, well, yeah, I realize that maybe the Bible isn't the Word of God. Do you know they've discovered that Jesus didn't die? Did you know they discovered his bones? Did you hear that the Bible was written? And it's like, wait a minute. And they're like, how do you not know this? That's all over my internet. It's because you're telling the devil what to teach you. You know, and I've heard people say before, I'm going to go look at that just to see I'm going to read that book. I'm going to just see what it's like. And it's like, no, be careful. I'm not going to eat rat poison to find out what it's like, all right? I don't need to experience and go, I just want to know for myself what this, you know. Think of any, I'm going to turn this back to Pam, but and I didn't really mean to talk about the internet. It can be anything, but think how easy it would be to fall into a porn addiction. Why? Because you begin to feed that and the seed begins to grow, but think of all the lies of the enemy. Pam, the only way to defeat the lies of the enemy is with the Word of God, to know what the truth is about God. The truth is about yourself. So many people believe lies about themselves, and so I will end my part with this. I'm sorry it was so long. Whatever lie you believe about yourself, the book of Colossians says you are accepted by God. That's the truth. Not that he tolerates, you're accepted, you're even loved by God. You know that. That's the truth. God smiles on you.
You know, the world only has bad news to offer, not good news. That's the reality of it. You know, I had an experience very, very recently where someone, as a gift, gave me a group of books. And you would think, well, that's a great gift. No, that's not necessarily a great gift. Those books were all about the problem. I already know the problems. I don't want a book about the problem. I don't want any of it. I want to read the book that has the answer. I remember years ago, my dad, in a board meeting, someone who we had hired, came into a board meeting. I just heard this hearsay. I wasn't there. But started talking about, you know, this is going on at this church and this is what's the problem. And Dad said something to the effect of, I already know the problem. I thought you were going to be part of the solution. You know, that's the problem with not reading the word. And that's where we get fear comes into our life in such a subtle way, because you're not reading about the answer, the word. Let me tell you something. The lies of the enemy bring fear. Day and night, you can be afraid, and you might not even know that it's stopping you. The enemy tells you you won't make it. But he knows that the word of God says that I could do all things through Christ. He doesn't want you to know that. He's a deceiver, but he's not deceived. He's been in heaven. He knows the truth. He tells you that you're going to get sick. People worry about getting cancer. They worry about dying. But he knows the truth, and I should know the truth, that Jesus can and will heal my body. But the enemy doesn't want me to know that. He'll lie to me. And the lies of the enemy are never based on truth. They really are not. They're based on lies. I want to tell you that the truth of God's word will cancel out absolutely any lie of the enemy. Will be canceled out by the word of God. The enemy is a bully. He's a spirit of fear, a demon. And you should never let a demon bully you or control you or talk you into being afraid. You can be talked into being afraid. Years ago, Ken loves to tell this story. When we were kids, you know, like I would torment him about, you know, there's Mr. Bloody Bones in the basement. And Sandy came to us one time and told us there's a man in the house. You can talk somebody into being afraid. Do you know you can talk yourself into being afraid of things? And John 4:18 says, fear brings torment. It has torment. Fear will hold you in captivity. How many of people don't leave their homes because they're afraid to leave their homes? There's more than you might think. How many people don't do things that would bring them pleasure and joy, like swimming and driving? There's people that won't drive, won't swim, because they're afraid. They're afraid of being hurt or killed or death. But Jesus has given us life, so we should not be afraid of death. 2 Timothy says, God has not given us the spirit of fear. It's an evil spirit, but a power and love and a sound mind, which is a secure, a steadfast, a contented mind, a confident mind. You know, I don't want a spirit that controls me. I want to tell you that King Saul's main problem was he was afraid. He was afraid of the enemy. He did not fear God, and he was afraid of the enemy. And Ken's going to share a little bit about that with you. But here's the things the enemy will tell us. What if our marriage fails? If we think it's going to fail, then we won't try, will we? He'll tell us, what if things on the job don't work out? He won't tell us, I can do all things. I can do something else. But I love the do it afraid thing. You know, I read a story yesterday about a woman who, it was fear of an airplane, would not get on an airplane, and her husband had to travel for his job. And she wanted to go so badly, but she let fear hold her back. But she decided, I'll just do it afraid. I'll just do it. And she began to where she loved flying. She decided that she would do it and she would love it. You know, here's the thing. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing. Let me tell you something. You cannot trust God and not trust God at the same time. I said that. You cannot trust God and not trust God at the same time. When I am afraid, it's because I do not trust God. That's the facts. I cannot believe that God will protect me and believe I'm also in danger, can I? I do not believe that he will protect me if I also believe I'm in danger. To worry or be afraid means I do not trust my God. And if I do not trust God to keep me safe, to provide for me, to help me, it means that I simply do not believe God loves me. And taking it one little step further, it reveals I do not believe that God is who he says he is. I don't believe he's who he claims to be, because he claims to be my protector. He claims that he's my provider. He claims that he loves me. So if I'm afraid, I don't believe in God. It's plain and simple if you break it down. I'll never be all God has called me to be and do if I do not believe in God. I won't write the book. I won't sing the song. I won't help people because I'll be afraid of being rejected. And watch this. You won't even minister and witness to people because you're afraid. You will never lay hands on people because you're afraid. And here's what I would ask you. Here's what the enemy will tell you. If you lay hands on that person, what happens if they don't get healed? Let me ask you something. What happens if they do get healed? If God is who he says he is, and he is who he says, we all know this because you've experienced God already. We should certainly be doing what we're doing for God and do it unafraid. If you can't do it unafraid, I have a second suggestion. Then do it afraid. It's still obedience to God. He will still do his part. Go ahead and lay hands on someone. If Frida came and said she has a deadly disease, first of all, she has nothing to lose for me to lay hands on her. I have nothing to lose to lay hands on her. Do it afraid. Do it in obedience to God, and he will do the work. I don't have to heal people. He does.
I think that all that God requires of us is that we trust him. And I think that's the question every day of our life is, are we trusting God or are we believing the lies of the enemy? And I know it causes God to smile when you trust him, even when you don't see the answers, that you just say, he said it and that's enough for me. God, I just trust God for my provision. To always demand that God be performing miracles for us. God just wants to know that we take him at his word. So I didn't get to finish my onion thing. So the house of God, we keep this place, we try to keep it beautiful. We try to keep it clean. And I'm proud of our church. So you look at this place and we say, this is the house of God. And we anoint this place. And we pray that God's anointing will always be here. That when you walk into this place, even if it's on a Wednesday at 10 o'clock in the morning, that if you come in here, the presence of God, it's the perfume of worship is still here. That this is a place of healing. This is the place that the waters can be stirred. That when the waters are stirred, that there's healing. So when the Holy Spirit begins to move, and I believe that any service at any time, that there's an old song that says, reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. Since we're two or three, he's gathered. Well, where's he at then? He's roaming. He goes through. I love that thought, Frida, that Jesus walks by and touches you. It's beautiful that Jesus is looking. And how does Jesus know where to go? He's looking for those hungry hearts. He's looking for those hearts that are crying out. But here's the second part of the onion. Yes, this is the house of God. But if you want a deeper revelation, you go look in a mirror and you say, that's the house of God. You look in the mirror and you say, that's the house of God. Know you not that you are the temple. We're the temple of God. So the same way that I said we dedicate everything in this church to the Lord, your life is dedicated to the Lord. You can't take a break from God. You can't escape somewhere and say, I'm just taking a break. No matter where you go, even if you're by yourself and nobody knows you, you are God's ambassador. You still look in the mirror and say, I carry the anointing of God. I asked someone one time, I said, well, why do you keep, it seems like you're rejecting people. You're like cutting them out of your life. And they said, well, I rejected them because I thought they were going to reject me. So I thought, there's the enemy saying, if I reject you, then, but you can see that's based on the lies of the enemy. So what is the enemy saying to everybody? If you look at the garden, you'll see what the enemy is saying. He's saying, hath God really said about everything? Everything you think you know about Christianity. Hath God said that? Is that really in the Word? And then I like how subtle he was with Christ. Because all the temptations of Christ, there was a hidden temptation. It was, if you be the Son of God. How do you like that one? Before he even gets to the temptation about turning stones to bread and jumping off the cliff or whatever. If you're the Son of God. So Satan will like to start his conversations with you. If you're a Christian, if you're a child of God, may put that doubt in your mind that maybe you're not even who you say that you are. We don't get our identity from Satan. We don't get our identity from our past. We get our identity from the cross, and we become more and more like him. Satan tells you that you're going to get sick, but the Word of God tells you that you're healed. Satan tells you that you're rejected, but God says that you're accepted. It really is a voting thing. Satan votes against you, God votes for you, and then you get to cast the deciding ballot. Who do you want to believe? Because if you believe the lies will become real in your life as you're hiding under the covers. So Satan, yeah, Pam said he's a bully. He is, because fear has torment. So the paralysis is, it's weird because it causes us not to be bold for God. Frida gave me this book of devotions. And so, by the way, I'm not like, my whole life I've never been like one to have all these books of devotion, but I start reading them as like nuggets of truth and things just jump out at me. So I've really been enjoying. So this is the one on, well, there's two versions, but let me first read the New Living Bible, Hebrews 4:16. Let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. So that's encouraging. But I'm going to read you the same verse out of the NIV, and it's just simple, but it really caught me. Because here's the question. Okay, before I read it, it's the same verse, but it's just different. Is there anyone out here? Could there maybe be one out of this church, maybe just one in this church that would say, I need God's help? Could there be one? So if you're just the one, I'm guessing there's just one. But let's say you're the one and the question is, would God help you? You know what your fear is. You know the situation. Would God help you? So here's the truth. This is so cool. Let us then approach God's throne of grace. I got to stop there. You're going to a throne called the throne of grace, right? If you need shoes and you go to the house of shoes, I wonder if they'll have shoes at the house of shoes. I need grace. I'm going to the throne of grace. It's the all-you-can-eat buffet of grace. Okay, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence. The question is, will he help you? That's the question. Approach with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. The question is, will God help us? And he says, come boldly, come to the throne of grace, come to the throne of mercy, and I will help you in your time of need. That's a truth bomb. Come on. Forget the lies about God won't help me that I've been. God wants to help you. Go to the house of prayer. Go to the house of shoes and get shoes. Go to the house of prayer, because the house of prayer becomes the house of power. And that's not just true of this church. That's true of you being the temple of God. The house of, when Jesus said, my house shall be a house of prayer, he wasn't just talking about this church. He was saying, you will be a house of, and then you'll be a house of power.
It's so true. We have no reason to be afraid if God is with us and God has promised to help us. Fear will work against you. And you need to remember this. It will cost you, and it will cost you everything. Absolutely everything. I want to give you an example today of someone who lost everything because they were afraid. 1 Samuel 13:8, King Saul. Saul waited 7 days, the time set by Samuel, God's prophet. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and Saul's men began to scatter. So he said, bring me the burnt offerings and the fellowship offerings. And Saul offered up those burnt offerings. And just as he was finished making that offering, Samuel arrived and Saul went to greet him. What have you done? Asked Samuel. And Saul replied, when I saw being the key word, that the men were scattering, and you did not come at the set time, blame, that the Philistines were assembling at Michmash, I thought to myself, now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal, and I have not sought the Lord's favor. So I felt forced to offer the burnt offering. Saul was more afraid of the enemy coming after him and going to get him. He had no trust in God. He did not fear God. Therefore, he did not obey God. And he stood in the place of God's anointed, thus robbing that. He feared the enemy. It cost him the kingdom. It cost him his destiny. He feared the Philistines and believed they would win over God. Saul knew better, and he did not do better. He disobeyed God. Don't let, did you notice this in there? He saw and he thought. Do not worry about what you see around you. You know, we all fight it. I look around at empty chairs and I think, God, can you help us? Will you? I know he will. It doesn't matter what I see or what I don't see. And it does not matter what I thought. Saul said, I thought. Does it really matter? He let his mind be tormented by fear. He believed a lie. He did not wait on God. He did not obey God. And he lost everything. But it gets worse. He eventually was tormented, but God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a sound mind. He no longer had a sound mind. When you are afraid, your mind becomes disturbed. It causes you to not want to obey God. And as I said before, and by the way, fear is contagious. You can get people to fear with you. I can tell you, I don't know what Sunday that Bloody Bones is coming, but he's coming. And I can talk to you about that. Let me give you an example. When King David went out, when shepherd boy David went out to face Goliath, like Ken said, there was an whole army of Israel was afraid. Why didn't somebody or a group of somebodies do what they did on Flight 93 and just rush the enemy? But they didn't. They were gripped and they were terrorized by, like Ken said, one man. Do you know how easy it would have been to take that one man out? I'm not kidding either. There was a whole army. You might have lost someone, but they were so personally afraid. You know, what have you got to lose to obey God and trust in his promises? I can tell you nothing. You have nothing to lose and everything to gain. You know, I told you last year, and I was telling my mom yesterday about the woman, Beverly, that we had prayed for last year that was going to have the part of her lung removed because of cancer, that she had had cancer. Well, we went to that same, Stevie has a great big barn in Kentucky. It's beautiful for a party. Same food and everything. Honest to goodness, it was the same food, same people, pulled pork. Dave and I, Nathan and I were sitting inside the house together on a couch because it was cool. It was as hot as the abyss of hell down there. And that's where we went, the abyss of hell, right, Leslie? We've been to hell. We don't want to go there. We've already been there. And so we were sitting down, and the woman came in the house, and she said, do you remember me? Do you remember me? I said, I do, Beverly. I remember you. So when she walked away and went to the bathroom, Nathan asked me, well, what's the story kind of there? And I told him, I said, last year I prayed for her right here at this same party. And they took her into surgery, and they pulled her out and said, you don't have any cancer. We don't have to remove any of your lung. What did I have to lose to pray for her? We don't have anything to lose. We have the ability. God has not just not given us a spirit of fear, but he's given us something great, a spirit of power. He's given us power, which means strength and courage. Isn't it wonderful to feel courageous, to feel like you can face the giant, to feel like I've got this. This don't have to worry me. I don't have to stay up all night worrying about this because God said in that verse, I will help you. That's all I need to know, is that God's going to help me.
I think one of the greatest prayers that we can pray is for discernment. To be able to separate and go, this is good, this is bad. This is wheat and this is weeds. And I guess we all think that we have a level of discernment that sometimes we're blind to the lies that Satan tells everywhere. And think about it. I think of the whole world as being a commercial against God. Most news, most entertainment, it's all anti-God. Believe me, no matter how good the shows are you're watching, if there's a pastor on the show, he did it. He's the murderer, right? If there's a Christian woman on the show, she's insane, right? The things she believes, the things she says is just to be mocked. You know, it's easy to write anti-Christian comedy. You just mock church and religion. And the problem is that, let me say it this way. From God's perspective, he would prefer that we live in Sodom and Gomorrah. What I mean by that is, when you choose to love Jesus when no one else does, you're making a statement. When you choose to be Daniel and say, I serve God in Babylon, that's a lot. That's saying something. It's not saying a lot if the whole world says there's no one like Jesus. We all love Jesus. Do you love Jesus too? Yes, we all love Jesus. That's kind of weak. It's when everyone is saying we do not like Jesus. We don't love Jesus. We won't follow him. He's not a savior at all. He's nothing. But you say, though none go with me, still I will follow. Though you say, I choose him, even though you don't. Bunch of fools. But the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. But I'm not a fool. I say in my heart, there is a God. So I want to have discernment in all areas of my life. And most of that has to do with what you're feeding on. You know, I try to feed on the Word of God. I try whatever a man thinks, however a man thinks, whatever you feed yourself. You keep feeding yourself the Word, that's what's going to come out. The Word's going to come out. It's going to come out of your pores. That's what you want. I happened to stumble across this radio show, and good Lord, I was like, does this kind of stuff even exist? They happened to be talking about the coronavirus, so I thought, well, get the latest, see what's going on with it. And the guy's like, there is no coronavirus. It's all fake, and Bill Gates made it up, and there's a microchip inside of it, and the space aliens and the lasers are coming for it. And I was like, is this a comedy show? And they're talking about that there's not really deaths, and it's not. And I'm like, whoever is listening to this does not have the ability to discern reality and facts. They're just, and I guess if you go down that rabbit hole and you listen to that 8 hours a day, and it could be anything. I just picked COVID out. It can be anything. The world has a million entertainment, and it's all cotton candy. It's just like, do you want the pink cotton candy or the blue cotton candy? But it's all garbage. Thank God that the Word of God is meat, and it is milk, and it is alive. It is a seed that if you plant it, it is a seed of faith, and the Holy Spirit will never lead you in anything except victory. He will always lead you towards victory. Think of this, Pam. Judas. Can anyone wrap their head around Judas? You just want to go, hello, McJudas. Is anybody home? You were there when he fed the thousands. You were there when he healed people. What rabbit hole did Judas go down that someone said, you know, that Jesus isn't all he cracked up to be, is he? He's just trying to set up a kingdom for him. How many lies did Judas have to believe to think, yeah, 40 pieces of silver would be a good trade? See how it's possible for even the very elect to be deceived, which means it's possible for you and I to be deceived, which means it's possible that you could turn 90 years of age and say, I'm done with this Christianity. Don't you do it. You are running a race. You are running a race, and you're running. You're not running from something. You're running into the arms of Jesus is where you're running to. So we have to stop this fear, Pam. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love. And you have a sound mind, a mind that can discern that you can do the Brother Hagin thing. You can go, hey, sticks. I don't want to eat sticks. They get caught in your throat. Amen.
You know, one of the things is you have to take every vain imagination captive. Most of the things we fear are things that are unreasonable, things that have not even happened yet, and probably never will happen. But I do know what it's like. How many of you have ever had a migraine and the enemy told you this is not your normal migraine? What this is, honey, is a brain tumor, and it's fast growing. That's what the enemy does. That's his game. How many of you have ever had just some kind of pain and brain cancer? You know, recently I've been battling the hip thing and all that, and don't think that the enemy hasn't said, well, it's, you've heard of bone cancer, right? You know, he does his job. He's cunning. He's a liar. I had an experience about 2 months ago where I had to go to a radiologist, and then they had to do additional testing with an ultrasound tech and everything. And all of a sudden, the ultrasound tech said to me, she said, I have to go get the head doctor in here. I'm seeing something that's abnormal and not right. And so that gave me some time, and I'm sitting there, and it seemed like forever. And my very first inclination, believe it or not, was to lean towards fear. Was they just told you they seen something abnormal. You're here to see if you have cancer or not. What is wrong with you? Immediately, I said to myself, which isn't, it's not easy to do, but I said to myself, I have to make a choice right here, sitting here right now. I must make a choice now that no matter what they come in here and say, and no matter who says it, if it's the head doctor, if it's the head of oncology, I have a decision to make right this minute. I will not fall apart. I will trust you, God. No matter what is said, no matter what shows up on that screen, no matter what the future is, I must trust you, God. It's go time. And that's what I was telling myself. I'm glad I had that time. So they came in and they discussed everything, believe it or not, openly and right in front of me. And they talked about it. What do you think about this? What do you think? And the head doctor said, she said, that's really nothing. She said, I've seen this many times. She said, we're going to watch this. But she said, I don't believe that's anything at all. I'm so glad that I trusted God. I could have fallen apart. I thought, you know, I could have just started sobbing, crying. This is abnormal. And they could have walked in and I'm crying and I'm terrified over nothing. Nothing. And that's what the enemy does. And Psalm 118 says, the Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. David wrote that. And by the way, when you see David running and hiding in caves, he wasn't afraid of the enemy. He was a giant killer. He was not running from the enemy. He was running to the Lord. He was running into the presence of the Lord. Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and death is stalking me at my every turn, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you're with me. The rod and staff comforts me. The cross, one of the names of God is Emmanuel, God with us. And you know, I love something that Jacob said. This is something I absolutely love, and I'm going to close my part in a minute. Jacob said something that stuck with me. Surely, God, he's in this place. God is right here. Surely, God is in this place. I just did not know it. May we ever be aware of God's presence in our lives. Surely he's in this place. Surely, surely he's with us and helping us. A man asked a little girl who said that Jesus was in her heart, being smart with her. This arrogant atheist man asked the little girl, said, how do you know, honey, that God is with you? And she says, because if I put my hand right here on my heart, I can hear him walking round inside me. God is in my heart. He lives in my heart. What a beautiful reminder that God is with us. He is our help. He owns our every heartbeat. I am going to choose faith over fear today. Do I have reasons to be afraid? Yes, I do. Do I have reasons not to be afraid? Yes, Jesus. Jesus. So all of the Word of God cancels out every fear I have. It addresses every situation I have. Jesus is the answer to every question. He is the solution to every problem. Jesus, Jesus, no fear.
Sometimes when we go to church, at least my experience has been as a child growing up, it's like, I wonder what they're going to do. You know, I wonder what they're going to do at church. And I think sometimes our experience is, I wonder what God's going to do. I wonder if anything's going to happen today in church. And I wonder if God's in heaven saying, I'm just watching that church to see what's going to happen. I wonder what they're going to do. And Pam just said that sometimes we're just not aware of the presence of God. That he's there, but we missed it. Surely God was in this place, and I did not know it, right? Or the other scripture where he says, I pray that my servant's eyes would be open, and he saw the chariots of fire that was there all the time. The chariots of fire didn't just show up. It was there. And his eyes were open. So here we are on July 10th, 2022. And all through the world, the eyes of the Lord go and say, I wonder what they're going to do on the Lord's Day. The whole world, what are they going to do? And his eyes are in here. Jesus is here. I wonder what they're going to do. I remember as a teenager that my father would just stand up and lead worship, and we would worship God as a church. And I remember thinking, when's he going to stop? This is getting long. Not realizing that how important that is. Does anyone here believe that any time you spend worshiping God could ever be classified as wasted time? Isn't he worthy of your worship? And yes, we ask God for, I want money and cars and jewelry, but we shouldn't. But shouldn't we be telling God just that we love him? Yes. You know, yes. When was the last time that we didn't come with all of our petitions and just said, I'm here to worship? So I thought what we would do to close out, I'm going to go to the piano, and I just want y'all to enter into worship and to take the time and focus on God and remember what I said. He's walking around. He is walking around. So we're just going to take a few minutes to worship. And believe me, it's going to be like taking a dip in the pool. You don't want to go to the pool and just sit on the side of the pool and go, we were at the pool. Get in the pool. It's cool and refreshing.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.